أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. صدق الله العظيم. Today inshallah we begin one of the most profound, one of the most beautiful, one of the most unique surahs which has been mentioned in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now usually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is, in one surah He will mention different stories, or He'll mention snippets from different stories. So for example, in the 8th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Hud alayhi salam, then He talks about Salih alayhi salam, then He talks about Shoaib alayhi salam. 19th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nuh alayhi salam, or part of the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Then He talks about Hud alayhi salam, then He talks about Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Shoaib alayhi salam. So he talks in different places of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different stories in one surah. But in this place of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions only one surah, or only one story, and that is in the surah of Surah Yusuf. So in the whole of Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't digress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't diverge, He only talks about one story, and that is the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this story spans the length of about 3/4 of a juz. And the fact is, really, if a person wanted to spend his whole lifetime studying this, then a person could spend his whole life doing this, and he wouldn't move on to any part of the Quran. But obviously, of course, for our purpose, we won't spend a full lifetime on this. But if a person really wanted to, then a person could do so. He could spend a whole life just on Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's story. Now, the thing about this surah is that it gives great hope and great direction for different types of people. Not just the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but for each and every one of us. So much so that it's actually mentioned in one tafsir that a person who reflects on this surah, or one less a person who recites this surah, or even one less than that, if a person simply listens to this surah, then eventually a person will find a shift in his mental state, in a person's mental health. So much so that even just simply listening to the words of this surah can cure a person from depression, can cure a person from anxiety. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this is by addressing or talking or mentioning different themes in Surah Yusuf. So the first thing is, in our society, unfortunately, we're surrounded by immorality, promiscuity, shamelessness. And this is a result of godlessness, people going further and further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, another part of the Quran, He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. That do not be like those people who nasullah, they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. So in turn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them forget themselves. Now if we look around us, we find that unfortunately, a young boy fails to realize that he's a boy, or a girl wants to change, wants to transition into a boy. Or we find that a man starts identifying himself as a donkey, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that the most honorable of creation is a human being. And one further, this may find this funny, but it's actually the truth, that a woman starts identifying herself as a sofa or a fridge. Now, we may find this funny, but it is true. Because the moment a person goes further and further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking he doesn't need a God, he doesn't need someone to, he doesn't need to acknowledge that there's a creator, then in turn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person forget himself. That's why we find that when a person moves away from religion, then a person starts even moving away from understanding his own self. So this is one theme which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, is how to address this problem of immorality, shamelessness in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, a product of this shamelessness, immorality, unfortunately, we find even in Muslim communities, is the amount of illicit, haram, najais, impermissible relationships between men and women. Now, the Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith, مَا تَرَبْتُ بَعْدِي الْفِتْنَةِ أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. That I haven't left a trial, a tribulation after me, which is more harmful to a man than the trial and the tribulation of women. Now, before anyone says that the Prophet ﷺ was a misogynist, the Prophet ﷺ didn't like women, or the Prophet ﷺ hated women, Islam hates women, we have to understand what this hadith is telling us. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that the attraction between a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, is inevitable. It will definitely happen. But just because something will definitely happen, because it's impermissible, that doesn't mean we also have to involve ourselves in those things. Just because something is impermissible but it's easily accessible, doesn't mean that we have to also involve ourselves in that sin. So similarly in this case, the Prophet ﷺ says that this thing will surely happen. Now how can a person address this? How can a person combat this in terms of when it's haram and it's impermissible? This is also addressed in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then another theme which is quite predominant in our culture is the topic of the issue of leadership, where people always want to be in charge, especially in our masjids. People want to be part of the committee, people want to head the committee, people always want to be in charge. But as much as this is an honor, as a tashrif, this is also a takreem, this is also a responsibility. Why? Because a person might want to run the masjid, but then to actually gain reward, a person has to run the masjid in the correct way. So as much as this is an honor, this is also a responsibility. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ala kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ul an ra'iyati." That every person is in charge of his flock, is in charge of the people underneath him. And every person will be asked regarding those people on the Day of Judgment. So a person might think that we're sat here on the minbar, we're sat here giving a talk, and we think we're better than everyone. Actually, it's more dangerous, because on the Day of Judgment, it's very possible, or it's likely, as the Prophet says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us, that you are the imams, or you are the supposed leaders of your community. What did you do for the people of your community? So this issue of leadership, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also addresses in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And finally, something which we mentioned last week as well, in terms of the 15th of Sha'ban, is one thing which is a major problem today. And that is, how do we deal with other people? How do we deal more specifically with our family members? Now we have to remember, and this is something that we should remember, which will be made a point later on, is that the prophets, according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the prophets will be are the most tested people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Now of course this includes Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, without actually getting into the story of what actually happened, so Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was the most beloved of the children to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, his father. Now a person may have a question at this point, which we'll answer later on, that why did Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam love Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam more than his other children? Is it this unjust? How was this permissible? How did this happen? Are we allowed to do this in this day and age? So these types of questions. So anyway, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was the most beloved of the children to his father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the brothers recognized this, and then of course Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had a dream which they found out about. They became jealous, and they decided to not only get rid, but they even, one opinion was, or one statement, one thing, one choice was to actually kill Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So the own, imagine your own brother wanting to kill you. So despite this, many moons later, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam became the leader, and his own brothers became under the direction of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had complete power over his brothers. Even then, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam forgave his people, forgave his brothers who wanted to kill him. Now we have to ask ourselves the question, that is very unlikely that our family members have ever wanted to kill us. Maybe they've done something in the past, something small, something big. But how many of us, we have to ask our questions, do not let bygones be bygones. How many of us still hold a grudge with someone, and we've not realized that suddenly it's become 10 years since we've held a grudge against someone? So in this case, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they wanted to kill Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they took measures to actually kill him. Yet despite this, many moons later, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam forgave his own brother. So this is also something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah. Now we mentioned at the beginning, one point, that this surah can actually, if a person, forget reflecting, if a person just keeps listening to this surah, then eventually one day this surah can cure a person from depression, cure a person from anxiety. But if you actually look at the story, the beginning of the story, it seems like it does the opposite. So there's a child, and he's taken away from his father, and then a group of people take him to a foreign land, and then they sell him in the market as a slave, basically child slavery, and then he's ordered to live as a slave, as a servant in the house of the king, or in the palace of the king, or the leader of the city of the country. So on the one hand, we're saying that this story can cure a person's depression. But on the other hand, if you actually look at the contents of the story, it actually could lead a person down a dark path, that it seems like it could cause a person depression. So the first thing is, we have to understand that when was this surah actually revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this surah was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 10th year of prophethood, approximately 3 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, in the year of Amul Huzn. So Amul Huzn is the year in which the Muslims, or was the time when, before this, the Muslims were banished from Mecca, and they were told, or they were ordered by the Quraysh to live in a valley outside of Mecca. And so certain sanctions were placed upon the Muslims, including the Prophet ﷺ. And this was that you couldn't marry any of the Muslims, you couldn't give food to the Muslims, you couldn't do business to the Muslims. So much so that the Quraysh would tell businessmen who came from out of town that if you want to sell something to the Muslims, then despite it not being worth our while, we'll pay you double what you're giving, what the Muslims would offer you, simply because we don't want the Muslims to have this. So it wasn't that they wanted the fruit because they already had it, but because they didn't want the Muslims to have the fruit, they would offer the businessmen double the price of what they would usually sell it for, just so that this product doesn't reach the Muslims. So they had these types of sanctions. Anyway, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these sanctions finished, and the Muslims came out of the valley. And at the time, they were living on the leaves from the tree. So anyway, this finished. In the 10th year of Hijri, the Muslims moved out from the valley. And then a few days later, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, passed away. Now we know Abu Talib supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was his protection. It was through his protection that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the situation wasn't as hard on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of Abu Talib. So when Abu Talib's passing away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Abu Talib. He encourages him to say the kalima, become Muslim before he passes away. But the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refuses to become a Muslim. Unfortunately, passes away as a non-Muslim. Anyway, he passes away as a non-Muslim. You can imagine how upset, how distraught the Prophet ﷺ was. Anyway, a few days go by, and the wife of the Prophet ﷺ passes away. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, who was there when the Prophet ﷺ received prophethood, the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mother of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, a few days after the death of the uncle, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ passes away. So you can imagine the trials that the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims had been through. Then the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ passes away. Then the wife of the Prophet ﷺ passes away. Amul Huzn, the year of grief, the year of disappointment. This is why it's called this. So anyway, after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to comfort the Prophet ﷺ, to console the Prophet ﷺ, this surah of Surah Yusuf. So on the one hand, the Prophet ﷺ was a human being. The Prophet ﷺ cried at the death of his son. The Prophet ﷺ was, of course, upset at this stage. He would have been distraught. But to console, to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to relieve him of this sort of depression, this anxiety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is the first thing. And the second thing is the wording which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. So he mentions all this, the child slavery, the story of what happens. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he mentions a few of his names, a few of his characteristics. Inna rabbi latifun lima yasha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle. The second, Inna Rabbi Alimun Hakim, that my Lord is the all-knowing, my Lord is the wise. And the third, Wallahu Ghalibun Ala Amri, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most aware of the situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete control over everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these kind of names to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that despite whatever was happening in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam, we are all aware of what is happening, and everything happens through our wisdom. Now we mentioned something in Surah Yasin, that the first passage of Surah Yasin was connected to the sixth, sort of symmetry, and the second was connected to the fifth, and then the third with the fourth, and then so the first part of the surah was connected to the last, second was connected to the second to that. So the similar thing happens in Surah Yusuf, that the first part of Surah Yusuf is connected with the last part. So the first part talks about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the beginning of the story, and then the last part ends the story. The second part of the story is connected to the second to last part. So eventually these things happen until we reach the middle part of the surah. So first we find Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is going through all sorts of trials, all sorts of tribulations with his brothers, and then with the wife, with the wife of the governor of Egypt. So all these things, these trials are happening, and it looks like quite hard to deal with. And then we reach the middle point of the surah. And this is where Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interprets the dream for the king or for the leader of the people. And then suddenly we find that at this point, the tide starts turning. And everything negative which has happened starts turning into a positive. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying by using these words is that through the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through these trials. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam happened to be in such a place where he interpreted the dream of the king. And by interpreting the dream of the king, the tide turned. Now, through the trials of one person, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the lives of thousands of people. So just imagine Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't interpret this dream, then thousands of people would have died. Now, we mentioned previously that the prophets go through the hardest trials, the biggest tribulations. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam go through this trial through his wisdom. Eventually, meaning that when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted this dream, then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was also the reason of thousands of lives being saved. So it's quite possible that if the Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't go through this trial, then in reality or in turn or in result of this not happening, then many lives would have been lost. So this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how is that connected to depression? Of course, it's, we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't ever be despondent. Remember, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through this, and then eventually he stuck to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by staying away from zina, from staying away from adultery. And then even when he had the chance to leave the jail, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam stayed in the jail because that was the best course of action through the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually the tide turned and the situation changed, and eventually Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam became someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. So this is how we this is what the tafsir means when he says that if a person simply recites this surah, then it can combat and it can cure a person's anxiety and depression because of what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through, where first it looks like quite a depressing story, but eventually when everything changes, it turns into a quite heartwarming story. So this is some themes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this surah. And finally, we look at the similarities between the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that the story and the tale of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam also started, the tale of the Prophet started with a dream. Now, the Prophet saw a dream and then he was given prophethood. So in a similar manner, the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also started with a dream. The second thing is that the brothers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, i.e. the Quraysh, they were willing to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were willing to attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were willing to destroy the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in a similar manner. The brothers, the true brothers, the blood brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, wanted to kill Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They wanted to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, in a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the fatah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the keys to the kingdom, just as he did with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And finally, the trial of women. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was calling people towards Islam, the Quraysh called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and they say that if you stop calling people towards Islam, then we'll give you as much money as you want, we'll give you the most beautiful women in Arabia, we'll give you whatever you want, leadership, we'll give you anything. But the only qualification is that you stop calling people towards Islam. So in a similar manner, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had the chance to commit zina, commit adultery, but he stayed away from this, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him honor anyway, just as he did with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So anyway, this is a short introduction to Surah Yusuf. Now, of course, we mentioned before that a person can spend hours just on the introduction before actually going into the verses of Surah Yusuf, but that is not our aim. We just want to have a good understanding of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yusuf. So this was an introduction, inshallah. From next week, we will start the verses, but then of course next week will be the last week before the month of Ramadan. So we have decided for this year that is in the month of Ramadan, instead of after the Taraweeh Salah, instead of going through kind of what has been read in the Taraweeh, because we've done that for the past 2 years, inshallah this year we will just carry on with the story of Surah Yusuf. Now of course Taraweeh is early this year, Isha Salah is early, but the tafsir won't be any longer than 10-15 minutes after Taraweeh Salah. 10-15 minutes, one part of the story, maybe one or two verses, and then inshallah we'll carry on the day after. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding as what has been said today, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us take lessons and then implement these lessons in our lives so that we can follow the footsteps of both Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.